Welcome to the Wetoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
Well, ready for God's Word? Let's dive into it. Father, I ask you to anoint your Word and anoint me as I share it, and may it bring transformation in our hearts. And Lord, may it just not be a word we hear. May this be a word that leads us to act in the way you want us to act. I thank you in advance in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
I want to welcome Wayne's family again. Thank you for being here. We've had a good time together with you. And thanks for coming and just experiencing Wetoto and experiencing Uganda. God has blessed us with amazing friends, like Pastor Ramsey already said. And this is just one of those families that has come and engaged deeply, especially with the work that we're doing with Wetoto Neighborhood. So thank you so much again, Wayne, for coming this weekend. Now, these past 2 weeks have been weeks of reflecting on what God has done over the past 6 months, and even we stretched into 2024. And the reason you stop and look back and count the many blessings God has done is that when you look at what God has done, it will give you courage to believe for more, to step out and trust God for more. Because when you look back, you see His faithfulness. And then it will encourage you to know He remains faithful. So for the rest of the year and the coming year, we want to continue pressing on with bold vision. We want to continue to carry a strong conviction that God, who began a good work in us, is faithful. He can bring it to accomplishment. We continue to do the things He's asking us to do with courageous action. We don't slow down as the year comes to an end. We pick it up and we keep running with this vision God has given to us. And I already mentioned it, and for this particular month, we want to concentrate on one aspect of our vision, which is really caring for community. Caring for community. God cares about community. And I want to ask you a question, and I want you to be honest with me. How many of us here, and those who are watching us on air, online, and some of you are listening to this on Power FM, how many of us have at one time been so frustrated by the state of our communities? The poverty, the dirty streets, the potholes, the unruly border cyclists, the loud bars that blast music through the night and taking our young people, the corruption. And you think about all these things, they are so frustrating that you've entertained the thought of one day, when will I leave this country? I know many of you are not being that honest, but you're not alone. You're not alone. It is true. Our communities and the state of our communities can really be frustrating. But what would Jesus do if He were in your shoes? What would Jesus say about the community? What would Jesus see about our communities? The goal of this series this month is to help us see our communities the way God sees it. It's to carry the heart of God for community. Because listen to me, if we only get frustrated and angry at the state of our communities, we will do something to make a little bit of a change. But if we let our hearts be broken by the things that break the heart of God in our communities, we will do everything we can to see that our communities are redeemed, like we were praying today. We'll go all out. A friend of mine, in fact, this is one of our younger people here in church. We were chatting with Vanita one time, and she says, you know, One day I prayed and said, God, would you break my heart for what breaks yours? And she's a teacher. So God took her to a school with amazing young people. And those people really tested her patience. And she remembered that prayer. The God, break my heart for what breaks yours. And instead of looking at what the children were doing in her classroom, she thought a little bit and said, there's more to what they are doing. There's a reason why they're doing the things they are doing. She got interested. She began to hear their stories. And their stories were breaking her heart because they were acting out of a broken family situation. And that began to break her heart. And she says, hey, Julius, be careful when you ask God to break your heart for what breaks his. Because he will, but it is the best place to be. She's no longer just teaching. She's now caring for her students. She wants them to be the best. Something changes when you allow your heart to be broken by the brokenness around us. And so I want to challenge you during this series. Ask God to break your heart for what breaks his heart in the communities you live in. Ask him. Because the only way we will truly engage in a meaningful way to care for our communities is when we allow our hearts to be broken by the things that break God's heart in our communities. And so our series title is God's Heart for Community. It's what we want to talk about. God's heart. What community needs is really people carrying the heart of God and bringing the heart of God where they are. That's what our communities need. And when we talk about community, my friends, we're really referring to a group of people who are connected by shared values or goals, interests. It might also be the same geographical location, and that's the one we usually refer to, or even identity. And as I was thinking about community, I began to just read about what people have said about community. And two people just really have said some great things about community. The first one is Martin Luther King Jr. Here's what he said. He said that community is much more than belonging to something. It's more than that. It's about doing something together that makes belonging matter. Wow. So community isn't, I live here. That's just part of it. But I live here, and this is what we are doing to make our community such a great, livable community. It involves engagement more than belonging. The other one is Henry Ford. Great, great guy who did the Ford cars. And he said something. He said, coming together is a beginning. Keeping together is progress. Working together is success. Wow. Many communities stop at coming together. Some try very hard to keep together. Great communities work together. That's our desire. That as communities, we'll learn to work together for the good of all. And so, my friends, when we talk about God's heart for community, it's not just the geographical places. It's about the people. When we say we celebrate Jesus and care for community, what we are talking about is the people around us. God cares about every single one of them. And if we are really going to be the people that carry God's heart for community, we need to understand two things. The first one is this. Community belongs to God. Community belongs to God. Psalm 24, verses 1 and 2 says this. The earth is the Lord's. and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. It is God who founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Community belongs to God. Our founders, Gary and Marilyn, always share the story of how God began to stir their hearts up for community as the church was growing. And Gary was bothered by the brokenness of community, and he's going before God complaining. And God challenges Gary and says to Gary, "Who owns community?" And Gary begins to think, all right, government owns community, the people own community. And God led him to understand that, no, I own community. And if there's a brokenness in community, it breaks my heart. And if I want to deal with the problems in community, who do I work through? I work through people. And as a church, we started to be a church that is community focused. When I joined Watoto Church, I gave my heart to Jesus here as a 10-year-old. I came and watched Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames. That was a community outreach. And I had my teenage challenges. At 16, I recommitted my faith to Jesus. And then I came back here. My friends invited me. And you see the stuff that's happening here. But even those days, I mean, Watoto has always just been a little bit ahead as KPC. There were lights, but not like this. There were screens, but it was a little bit different. It was a projector thing. And it was dynamic. The worship was amazing. The young people, it was dynamic. But the thing that really gripped my heart was when the word of God would be taught here and Gary would come and challenge us to care about the brokenness in society. As a teenager, I got to learn that I cannot just live for my own small dreams. There's something beyond me. God wants to work through me to touch the lives of others. And that's the reality. That's what God wants, and that's the fabric of Watoto. We care about community, whether it is in small group, whether it's in the workplace, whether it's in your geographical living place. We care about community. We do. Why? It belongs to God. And because it belongs to God, He cares about it, and so should His people. So if community belongs to God, what then is His heart for the community? If you want to understand God's heart for community, you just read the Bible. From the very word go, God's desire is that communities should flourish. He, in Genesis chapter 1, it starts with a chaotic world, dark, void, empty, chaotic. That's what it was. And then God starts to create. Let there be light. And by the way, we still need light in a lot of our communities. God began to create everything, the land and the water and the skies and the day and night. And He did all of that and the plants. He was setting up a community for human beings. And after that, He created man and placed man in a beautiful community. Adam and Eve, the Garden of Eden that was flourishing. But something happened. Sin came into the world and sin began to break everything apart. First, it affected the relationship between Adam and Eve. Marriage got affected. Family got affected. Sibling rivalry that ended up in murder. Community began to be broken. The earth began to produce thorns, and the very thing that was supposed to be a blessing started to become such a hardship. It was so broken. But God, because His heart is for a community that flourishes, He knew that the problem was sin. And when you read, sin just continues to reflect itself in different ways even today. But He had a plan. The first Adam failed. The second Adam, Jesus, came to deal with the sin problem. Because the root of all community challenges, it can be traced back to sin. Listen, every pothole can be traced back to sin. Every stolen drug in our hospitals can be traced back to sin. Sin is a real issue. And so Jesus came to deal with the sin. And when you continue to read the Bible, you begin to realize that actually God's absolute intention is every community to flourish. He wants it to flourish. But that's not the case today. We see people living with a lack of purpose. We see abject poverty, sickness, and oppression. We see broken relationships. That doesn't sound like flourish. We see people living in deplorable, unplanned, dangerous neighborhoods. We went with our friends to see some of those neighborhoods. We see political leaders who are robbing in broad daylight the people they are supposed to be leading and serving. The worst is we see spiritual leaders doing the same. It's bad enough to have wolves in sheep's skin. It's bad. But the worst is to have wolves in shepherd's skin. And our city is struggling with that. And those wolves in shepherd's skin partner with the other wolves to rob and hurt the people, especially those who don't have much. It breaks the heart of God. It should break our hearts as well. Because that's not God's flourishing that he desires. See, John 10:10 says, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that they may have life in its fullness. That's God's heart. He wants community to flourish, but it is in reality, it's broken. Let me read a few more scriptures so that you can continue to see God's heart for community. Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 36. This is about Jesus. It says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages. He was teaching them in the synagogues. He was proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. He was healing every disease and sickness. But verse 36 says, when he saw the crowds, he saw them differently. He had compassion on them. Why? They were harassed and helpless. They were like sheep without a shepherd. You see, the way Jesus sees community is different. And I pray, Watoto family, I pray all of those who are listening to us on air and online, that God will give us eyes like Jesus' eyes. That we just won't see the state of our communities and become indifferent or just frustrated. But rather, what we see will break our hearts and move us into action. I pray with Toto family that we will be different when we're in our communities, in our small groups. We will see differently, and that's why we're doing this series. That God will give us eyes like Jesus' eyes. He'll give us hearts like Jesus' heart. He'll give us hands like Jesus' hands. He'll give us feet like Jesus' feet. Hebrews 4:15 talks about Jesus as a high priest who feels the hurting and the weakness of people. He sympathizes. I love what Jeremiah chapter 2 talks about, just reflecting when God sees the brokenness in community, how it also breaks his heart. Here, Jeremiah chapter 2 verse 13 says something about this broken people of Israel, God's prized possession, the ones he rescued out of oppression. They turned away from God. And so they're living in brokenness. And then God says to them through the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 2 says, my people have committed two sins. And we still commit those two sins today. The first one is they have forsaken me, the spring of living water. Forsaken God. And the second one is this. They've dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. In other words, not only did they forsake God, they were trying to do things outside of God. Please understand, as great as human intellect can be, there is no amount of human strategy that can fully deal with the pain and the problems in community. And people have tried, governments have tried, strategists have tried, development workers have tried. They will do something, but they will never get to the root of the community challenges. They can analyze, they can research, they can try to put programs in place, and that's okay. Those programs could try and do something, and I'm glad that at least they're trying to do something. But for community problems to really be dealt with, it has to start with the heart and the mind. The heart and the mindset change. The only one who can deal with heart issues is Jesus. I think it was Reverend J. John who said that the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. If you don't deal with the human heart, you can put up things and hope they will be working, but the human beings will destroy them. And you'll get back to ground zero. So here, God is saying, you've not only forsaken me, you are trying to bring human solutions. God owns community. He's touched by the brokenness of community. It's only Him who knows best how community can be healed. We must get back to God. That's why we're talking about God's heart for community. One more verse and then I'll step into the final part of the message today. Sometimes we look at what's happening in our world today and we're like, wow, the world has never been this wicked as it is. Some things that people do are crazy. When you read the newspaper, you're only reading a tip of the iceberg of the state of our communities. That's what you're reading. That's the one that makes it in the 40 pages. But I mean, it's weak, the things happening in schools, the things happening in communities, the things happening in our city. Crazy, the things happening in our world are all crazy, my friends. That human craze is really driven by sin and forsaking God. It happened before. Let me read you a scripture, because sometimes we think these things are new, but they've happened before. Genesis chapter 6. This is one of my low moment verses in the Bible. Genesis starts by describing God creating everything good and man putting him in the garden. Sin comes in the world and starts wrecking the world. But the impact of sin, you can see it in Genesis chapter 6. He says the Lord observed, verses 5 and 6, the Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth. And he saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. This is in Genesis. God observes that. He sees that. And the heartbreaker. So the Lord was sorry he had ever made them. And that he put them on the earth, which he created beautiful. It broke his heart. God's heart breaks with the brokenness in our community. If we are to truly carry God's heart for community, our hearts should break for the brokenness in community. So it's one thing for me to tell you to care for community, but without a broken heart, you can't truly care for community. My prayer for us as Watoto is that God will break our hearts for what breaks his heart. So we see this brokenness, we see how it breaks the heart of God. Does it change anything about God's heart for community? No, it doesn't. His plan remains. And the last two thoughts that I want to leave with you today as we focus on God's heart for community is that, hey, God will always seek to restore broken communities. He won't change his mind. He wants every community restored. We see that when Jesus came on earth and he was declaring his mission in Luke chapter 4, his mission was community driven. Luke chapter 4, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to do what? Proclaim good news to who? To the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus' mission was a community mission. Good news to the poor, freedom for the prisoners, sight for the blind, freedom for the oppressed. He was community focused and community driven. He carried the heart of God. And if we want to carry God's heart for the community, we need to emulate Jesus and do the things that Jesus did. We read already, he went through the villages. He taught, he healed the sick, and he was touched by the things in community. He was. So God's heart has always been, I want every community restored so it can flourish. Now, when we think about the flourishing of communities and caring and engaging community, it is an uphill task. It is not very easy. It is messy work. It is. But it's not impossible. Jesus came to a messy world. He walked on messy streets. He met messy people. But his love continued to drive him to those people. Even though the things he saw broke his heart, they didn't deter him from his mission. Even the ones he came to save betrayed him, and are the very ones who said, crucify him. On the cross, he still said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Don't let the mess of the work or the mess of the community stop the mission to care for community. We're going to keep doing it. We're going to keep caring. I remember as a teenager here, Gary challenging us to go and find a community need and not run away from the pain, but aim at the pain. As teenagers, we said, okay, what could we do? Because we're meeting as youth group, like you saw the ones dancing here. And so we said, you know, let's do something, maybe, just for a day, to hang out with the children on the streets, the street children. Those days, there were many. And just do something with them to tell them God loves them. So we put our little monies together and prepared a meal for them. And some of them, our friends went and cooked. And so we went to the city square. Those days we could do things there. Now it is a security square. A little bit different. But those days, it was really our city square. Green and nice. And so we went with our food as a bunch of young people from the church and invited the children off the street. And they came one by one. They invited their friends. So we said we're going to have lunch and then do a worship party together, a praise party together. They refused to eat. And they said to us, you'd see them suspicious. You've come to poison us because you don't like us. So we said, no, we've really come to do something with you because God loves you. We had to eat the food first. And when they saw that nothing was happening to us, they came and ate as well. Because community sometimes is suspicious of us. They don't think we really care for them. So anyways, they ate and it was great. We started to laugh, share jokes, and we had some of their stories. We started to have a worship party together. It was fantastic. Some of them were on the street because, man, they were growing up in a healthy family and mom, dad are gone. And they find themselves homeless because families have wrecked all their stuff and they find themselves on the street. Some had Sunday school experience, so they came and joined in leading worship. It was such a big thing happening for us there, and we gathered around big group, young people, and told stories, told them how God loved them, and they were very thankful. And as we were leaving that day, one of us said, my bag is gone. We couldn't find the bag. So one of the guys who, those guys have ranks and they lead themselves in certain ways. So one of them came, he said, your bag is gone? Said, yeah. Said, just give me a moment. 5 minutes later, the bag came back intact. Intact. Here's what I learned. When you genuinely care for community, community will care for you. You cannot live an isolated life. We put up all these walls and fences and all of that, and it's necessary because there's some bad people in community. But let's not let our hearts carry those same walls. You're here today, you've left your home. If anything is to happen at your home, if you care for community, that community will care for your home when you're not there. It's possible for our communities to flourish. God desires it. The final thought is this. Whenever God wants to do something, do you know who he finds? He looks for his people. He looks for his people. You and I are the children of God. And if God wants to bring healing to a city, a community, you know who he's counting on? He's counting on you. He's counting on his church. He's counting on us to be the vehicle through which that flourishing will come, through which that healing will come. That's God's desire. You know, I love what Matthew says. He says, Jesus was speaking to the disciples, Matthew chapter 9. He said, the harvest is big, it's plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field. There are few people who carry God's heart. I pray that as Watoto, we will carry his heart and be the ones who will say, here I am, Lord, send me. Send me to the neighborhoods. And we've done that. Send me to the fatherless. And we've done that. And we carry the heart of God for them. Send me in our small groups to our neighbors who are hurting. Help us do something to improve the livelihoods of the community. We're saying that. And so, Watoto family, when we talk about God's heart for community, he wants community to flourish, but he's counting on you and me. Would we listen and say, here I am, Lord, send me? So my friends, there are things that are frustrating in our communities. Our communities are broken. That's the reality. Oh, here's the good news. God has not changed his mind. He still desires community flourishing. He wants communities to flourish. Secondly, he's counting on you and me. The best place to be is in a place where you're saying, "Here I am, Lord, send me." Would you lift up your hands as we close today? Would you join me in that prayer? Say, "Lord, would you help me to have a heart for community like you do? Lord, I pray today that we just won't be hearers of the word, but we'll be doers of the word. I ask you that even now, you'll begin to baptize us afresh with the compassion for our communities. Lord, where we've only been frustrated, that's only step one. Help us to have broken hearts, so that from a broken place, we will feel and identify with the brokenness around us and do something about it. We commit our hands to you. We commit our feet to you. We commit our skills, our talents, our jobs, our businesses. Everything we do, we commit it to you. And Lord, if you can use any of them to make an impact in community and make them flourish again, do it, Lord, through us. You may put your hands down and let's just keep in that place of prayer. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, "Pastor, you're talking of a lost and broken community. My life is a mess. I'm far from God. I'm living in darkness. I'm living in fear. I'm living in sin and guilt and shame. Pastor, I know you've talked about God caring for community, but I need God in my life. I need him to save me. I need a change in my life. I'm tired. Maybe that's how you're feeling online, on air. Maybe that's how you are here in the building. You're saying, "I need Jesus to redeem me." If that's you, I want to pray with you in the next minute or so before we close. Saying, "Pastor, pray with me. Please, I need Jesus to save my life." Whoever you are, wherever you are, just lift up your hand. In the building, online, you can lift up a virtual hand and a friend of mine will be with you. On air, you can text us. There's numbers on your screen. Come on, just lift your hand if you're in the building right now, saying, "Pastor, pray with me." Up says, "Thank you." Just lift that hand high. I thank you right at the back. God bless you. Thank you, sir. God bless you. God bless you, saying, I need Jesus to redeem and just save my life. I'm in darkness. I'm lost. I'm far from God. Anyone other person like that? You're here. Thank you, young man. God bless you. Thank you, mom. God bless you. God bless you. If you're on air online, just keep lifting that hand. A friend of mine will reach out to you. Jesus wants community to flourish, but he also wants your life to flourish. It starts by surrendering your life to him. Any other person? Thank you, madam. God bless you. Upstairs, if you raise your hand, I see one hand right at the back. There's a couple of hands there. Some friends of mine are coming to you as well. God bless you. Wow, if you raised your hand, I'd like you to repeat this prayer after me. In fact, everybody, would you help my friends on air, those in the building, those online, would you repeat this prayer? Say, "Dear Jesus, I thank you that you love me. Today, I ask you to forgive me of all my sin and make me a child of God. Come into my life. I surrender completely to you. I am yours. In Jesus' name, amen."
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com. Hey, hey, hey.